In order for you to escape purgatory, you need a guide. For you to conquer this fiery Mount Everest, you must have someone lead you. This is exactly what happened to Sister Mary of the Cross by Sister Mary Gabriel, a nun of her convent who had died previously and was now in purgatory, guiding her for over 16 years, all of this documented in the amazing book, The Unpublished Manuscript on Purgatory. Today's video, we will get right into this, and we will go through each of the different sections with commentary in between so that you can understand what the different levels are, the souls that are there, and the things that you need to avoid to get straight into heaven. If you want to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get into this right away. I can tell you about the different degrees of purgatory because I have passed through them. In the Great Purgatory, there are several stages. In the lowest and most painful, like a temporary hell, are the sinners who have committed terrible crimes during life and whose death surprised them in that state. It was almost a miracle that they were saved, and often by prayers of holy parents or other pious persons. Sometimes they did not even have time to confess their sins, and the world thought them lost. But God, whose mercy is infinite, gave them at the moment of their death the contrition necessary for their salvation on account of one or more good actions which they performed during life. For such souls, purgatory is terrible. It is a real hell, with this difference, that in hell they curse God, whereas we bless Him and thank Him for having saved us. We see from this first part of purgatory our role in helping those people even while they are still on earth. We are called to be those holy people and the pious ones. All of us have in our lives people that struggle with sin or ignore God completely. We can pray for them. We can help them avoid hell, and perhaps they won't go to those higher levels of purgatory, but at least they'll enter into it, and they'll be grateful for having been saved. Next to these come the souls who, though they did not commit great crimes like the others, were indifferent to God. They did not fulfill their Easter duties and were also converted at the point of death. Perhaps they were unable to receive Holy Communion. They are in purgatory for the long years of indifference. They suffer unheard of pains and are abandoned, either without prayers, or if they are set for them, they are not allowed to profit by them. There are in this stage of purgatory religious of both sexes who are tepid, neglectful of their duties, indifferent towards Jesus. Also priests who did not exercise their sacred ministry with the reverence due the sovereign majesty, and who did not instill the love of God sufficiently into the souls confided to their care. I was in this stage of purgatory. For that second group that she speaks of, we can know this. We need to come to these people to tell them, you will not get away with your indifference. You will have to suffer for it in the next life. Often people think to themselves, I can be indifferent to God, I can worry just about worldly things, and then I'll make up for it somehow, I'll really love Jesus, and everything will be okay. Not so. When we come to the other side and see God, we know the truth, and justice is real. So these could be words of encouragement to people that are stuck in indifference, and we call them out of it to a life of greater fervor. We can also know that our prayers for indifferent and lukewarm religious and priests is incredibly important, because we know that we are helping them avoid as much as possible this intense suffering in this lower part of purgatory. We need to, in this sense, have mercy on them, and we all know the effect that a holy religious and a holy priest can have on us and on the world. In the second purgatory are the souls of those who died with venial sins not fully expiated before death, or with mortal sins that have been forgiven, but for which they have not made entire satisfaction to the divine justice. In this part of purgatory, there are also different degrees according to the merits of each soul. thus the purgatory of the consecrated souls, or of those who have received more abundant graces, is longer and far more painful than that of ordinary people of the world. For this second purgatory, we need to understand this. We need to have an account of our venial and mortal sins that we still need to atone for. Let me recommend to you the Divine Mercy Promise. This is the only promise of its kind which can completely erase both the effect of sin, but also the punishment attached to it. If you don't want to lean on that, then all of us need to do penance through prayer, through suffering, with love, with fasting, and much of it. Think about this. Do you want to suffer in this life and atone for your sins and gain the merit for it? Or do you want to suffer intensely in purgatory and get no reward for it at all? Lastly, there is the purgatory of desire, which is called the threshold. Very few escape this. To avoid it altogether, one must ardently desire heaven and the vision of God. That is rare, rarer than people think, because even pious people are afraid of God and have not therefore a sufficiently strong desire of going to heaven. This purgatory has its very painful martyrdom, like the others. The deprivation of the sight of our loving Jesus adds to the intense suffering. For this last section of purgatory, the threshold, this mysterious place, the final line that we must cross before we enter into the glory of heaven. Think of how she describes a pain, a word she did not use for the other sections, martyrdom. At the end of the day, if we want to go to heaven, we must be martyrs. Jesus Christ gave us the example, and the Blessed Mother gave us the other options, that we are either active martyrs or passive martyrs at the foot of the cross. Those are the only two paths. She speaks of this very unique grace that we must ask for, that we must ardently desire heaven and the vision of God. Now you know specifically what to ask the souls in purgatory for. This is a grace that you must ask God for. And do not underestimate the pain of receiving this grace. All of the saints talk about it. They all talk about this intense desire for God, that it feels like they're dying. In other books by Saint Catherine of Genoa, she speaks about this, that when we see God, we are so drawn to him like a magnet that everything that keeps us is unbelievably painful. Imagine the moment when we see the gates of heaven and we will think to ourselves, how could I on earth have been so lukewarm and so lacking in passion and desire for this amazing place? How poorly I wanted it. How little I fought for it. How few people I tried to bring to it. If we were to see heaven, and if we were to see God, as she says in another place, for even 1 minute, we would do anything to try to get there. We would suffer anything for God and for heaven. We would do anything to bring as many people to this beautiful place. Spare no suffering in doing this. My friends, it has been my utter joy to guide you in this amazing book, The Unpublished Manuscript on Purgatory. If you have not seen it yet, you need to check out my video on the Purgatory Book Giveaway, 12 different books on purgatory to 34 lucky people. If you want to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. I will see you in the next one.